I am so plowed right now. Speaking of sound bites. No, I think...
Recording.
I'm still recording.
It's always good to have a backup.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 408, and I remembered that without having to look at the number in the show notes. I'm awesome. I've been fixing everything tonight. The whole reason you can see this show right now, besides Diecast Internet streaming it, is because of me. Kilby's not here with us this week to run the show because Jolanta is this weekend, and he will be there along with Rob Springer. And Diecast, why are you here if you're going to Jolanta this weekend?
I don't know. I'm just already like hyped
Aren't
up
you
on
married.
Red Bull. Yeah, <it's... laughs> I went to work
well,
early.
Well, the secret
today.
Is Diecast loves us more than his own family.
Well, see, I can understand because when I was his age, many years ago, I would get hyped for BotCon, and I would get like maybe 3 hours of sleep beforehand, knowing I had to drive an hour and a half to the airport.
That reminds me of Shardicon, where I got like an hour and a half of sleep and they had to drive home 10 hours. that was a rough run. But Jolanta is this weekend. Brian, Diecast, and Rob will be having a panel at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. If you're in the area, you know, go check it out. There's, you know, the whole toy show there, and you know, obviously it's gonna be an RFC backed panel, so it's gonna be awesome. With us on the show this week, we have Diecast, as pointed out. We've got Headmaster Don, Matt or Melvar, John DeLuna, and Rob Clay. What's up, guys?
Rain.
Yeah.
But not snow. Always nice.
Yeah, we had the snow last week here, and it hung around for a few days, but it did burn off eventually. It's nice to be able to actually get out of the house again.
Yeah, I took a day trip down to Greensboro, North Carolina, just to get out of the house, and I saw leftover remains of the Blackjack wave, but no Blackjack, and the Spider Girl wave, and no Spider Girl, and just all sorts of stuff that had waves of stuff that had stuff I wanted, but nothing was there.
Yeah, because like a couple weeks ago, I took a drive to. But it's probably the closest Toys R Us to me now, which is like an hour in one direction, and found Armada Megatron and no G1. Yay for me. It's okay,
that's
though, because
right. We're having that problem.
My Hasbro Toy Shop one will be
R Us
here
was
tomorrow.
2 hours, and I found nothing.
Oh, no.
Well, I will say this in all fairness. Looking at the Armada Megatron in person, it is not as terrible as you think. It's not great.
Glowing recommendations from Headmaster Don.
I mean, it's not perfect, but it's not as hideous as you see.
No, I mean I get what you're saying, and I agree with you having seen it in person. It is still not to my taste, and I still don't think it looks like a good Armada Megatron, even, you know, in deco, because obviously there is no good Armada Megatron but the original. It does not look as bad as you think it does just looking at pictures of it.
I think it looks pretty. I have it in hand. I'm actually showing everyone on the stream. And I really like the way this looks. I don't like the G1.
Okay. That's fair. Someone has to prefer that.
That's true, but I'll be
you
honest.
And, you and Kilby can talk about that this weekend in Atlanta.
That bolt just screams for a G2 deco. I'm sorry. It just...
Yeah, I agree.
It just screamed for a G2 deck. And also, one of my friends pointed out, the Hero Megatron deco could also work on that if you wanted to go with the purple and black.
I think I was talking about that last week, wasn't I?
Oh. Probably.
Okay.
I talk about everything, though, so it's hard to keep track. Yeah,
well, between two podcasts and talk, you know, it's hard to keep up on who says what. So.
And speaking of talking about everything, you should all check out the newest episodes of our alternate podcast. We have the RFC Minicast. John, I think there was a certain topic that I may have been involved in this week.
Perhaps. perhaps a certain crowdfunding project that's sweeping the nation.
Yeah, we talked for half an hour. We talked for half an hour about that and what we thought about it.
Yes, we sure did. That was a good conversation.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. We also have RFT Extra, which I think the most recent episode was part 3 of our chat with Ben Yi from a few weeks ago. That was also a really fun conversation to be involved in. And we also have Rob Springer's Being Awesome, which is now its own mini podcast. So you should definitely go check all that out, tfradio.net, or subscribe to us on iTunes, because it's all there in the feed. So we've got a lot of stuff. We've got a few more things coming up in the near future, including maybe something that'll be out this time next week, maybe. So, you know, we're producing a lot of content right now, so enjoy it while we're keeping the energy up.
Yeah,
enjoy it while Kilby's in a manic phase and wants to do everything at once. So we also had the winner of our first Twitter contest. John, why don't you recap that for us? What was the first contest?
So we it lasted about a week, and we gave away a Huffer, Combiner Wars Huffer, not just a guy who's huffing. And it went to a kind Transformers fanatic artist and general handyman, according to his Twitter. Actual Lighty, I think is how it is. Or he's at Ixion AE. So I guess follow him. Or just follow our feed. Because that's how he won. Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is follow us on Twitter and watch out for the contest retweets, the official tweet to retweet. And if you retweet that tweet and follow us, you will be entered in the contest to win the specified Transformer. So the first week was Huffer. And then actually we have a new one running at the time of this broadcast, and it is for Combiner Wars Blackjack.
Excellent.
I can win Blackjack?
No, you're an employee of the Radio Free Cybertron Network, so you are disqualified from entering this contest, Don.
And we use the term employee loosely. Yes.
Enter the contest to win the figure that Don can't find.
can Massey enter?
No, he's a family member. Right?
Oh.
Don't you know how these giveaways work?
Well, I'm just checking. We're not related by blood or anything.
No, it's more like related by marriage.
Enough of your blood in and on him now that you know.
Oh. Well done. So this week on Radio Free Cybertron, we have This Week in History, as you do, and the news. So This Week in History, and I actually changed this from what Kilby had set up ahead of time because his pick was terrible and mine is brilliant. On this very day in 2002, on March 11th of 2002, on DVD in the UK was released Transformers Generation 2, or at least 5 episodes of it. Sony Wonder and Maverick Entertainment released the CG-enhanced Cybernet Space Cube having and all that, More Than Meets the Eye Parts 1 through 3, SOS Dinobots, and Heavy Metal War, and they were the envy of everyone else in the world. I would like to own that, if not for, you know, region encoding.
Yeah. Yeah. Around that.
Like, G2 was the Transformers I had when I was a kid. That was the first Transformers I ever watched. So, like, that's what has... The Cybernet Space Cube is the thing in my mind when I think of the old cartoon, even having watched, you know, Rhino DVDs, YouTube videos of G1 episodes, all that stuff. I still, you know... I'm looking for the Cybernet Space Cube for the scene transitions and the effect overlays and everything. And it's just, I want that in better than VHS rip quality, and you just can't get that. I would love to have a region-free DVD player and get this. Of course, being 13 years old, it's probably hard to find now.
Yeah. Well, it's. I can tell you, I can remember when that started airing in the U.S. I remember getting up about 6 o'clock in the morning because the local station was showing it at 7. And I, at the time, all I knew was it was a new Transformer series. That's all it had. All it had really been talked about. And I'm thinking, all right, something new. What the hell is this? And it was More Than Meets the Eye Part 1 with the Cybernet Space Cube. It's like, this is not new. This is what.
It was.
And
new
I mean,
to me.
I grew to love the Cybernet Space Cube, and you know, for all the intrinsic values that G2 had. But I really thought it was a whole new show. you know, with Rotor Force and, you know, all the new characters we got from G2 and Teal Grimlock and just all the new characters. And
I mean, that would have been great, but, you know, I wouldn't trade the Cybernet Space Cube for anything. So, did anybody get anything new this week? My new thing for this week is actually going to be delivered tomorrow, being completely useless to me for this week's purposes, but who else got something this week?
I got the complete Transformers Animated AllSpark Almanac.
Very nice.
Nice.
Yes. Which is available, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, go ahead, Don. Follow through.
Go ahead. Well,
I you do it.
Okay.
You started this, Don.
It's through our link at tfradio.net and our Amazon link. If you go through our Amazon link, it doesn't cost you any extra. You still get all of Amazon's great deals. And you help out the podcast. Help keep up our high broadcasting standards.
Keep buying Don's medical supplies.
My medical supplies, yes.
And if you want to cut out a few steps in the process, you can go to tfradio.net/almanac and be taken right to the page for the complete AllSpark Almanac.
But Melvar, how is that? I mean, is it as awesome as it looks? Because I've got the two individual guides. I've heard of them, but
I never got the individual guides. This is fantastic. I highly recommend it to everyone. I mean, this thing is massive.
Yeah,
it is super heavy. It is.
You know, you guys.
471 pages of awesome.
That is thicker than my local phone book, literally.
So that's
all right. So I got, as everyone saw, the Armada Megatron Combiner Wars, and I also got the RID Drift and Prime.
Nice.
So, yeah,
excellent.
I got them in the mail yesterday. I didn't have a chance to open them, but they're here. So as soon as I get back from Jolanta, I'll be able to open them, review them, and put them on.
Are you going to do the hand modification for Prime?
I might try it. Yeah.
So I have not seen these in person yet. Is Optimus as small looking as it seems like it would be?
Yes.
He looks pretty small. His legs are pretty beefy, but his chest and head are very small.
Yeah. I'll be honest. If you look at just basic price point to basic price point, the three-step changer is a lot more massive figure. It's only like $5 more than your standard warrior class. And it doesn't have a weapon, but I mean, you can get, you know, a master shooter, target master, whatever you've got hanging around. You know, it's I wish they had done a Voyager in the RID stuff that wasn't like a three step changer. But
and like I think if I was gonna get one of those fast conversion figures to get a large Optimus, I would want the one we were talking about a few weeks ago, I think it was the Super Optimus Prime, which looks like, you know, Star Convoy, Super Robot-y. That's the coolest looking one I've seen out of any of them. So if I was gonna go to that route, I would probably just go to the extreme right from the beginning and get the one that looks the best.
Right.
So Don, were you saying in the pre-show that you had gotten something?
Yeah, I picked up last week. I had a package come in after the show. Show last week, I had Motor Master came in along with the Solchigokin Galvatron car. I've got what was the other thing that I picked up recently?
Whirlwind?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah,
15 minutes ago, Don, we were talking about this 15 minutes ago.
Well, I mean, I've got a lot of stuff backlogged.
But we were talking about this specific one right before I started the show.
I'm old. Leave me alone.
He's got a lot on his mind. Massey beat him up the other day, so.
this is what happened. Yeah. But that was because there was another cat in the area, and he was feeling a little territorial. I got one.
Yeah, Don, nothing is Massey's fault ever.
He still loves me. He didn't mean to hit me.
Anyway, so Whirlwind. I picked that up. Yeah, picked up Whirlwind. I'm going to open him up. So all we have left now is the not-onslaught, and we'll have Warbitron Bruticus completed. That's, I went out, like I said, I went out today looking for stuff. I did see the one-step fix-it and was very tempted by it, but I've got so much other stuff on pre-order, like Combiner Wars Wave 2 and everything else, so it's...
You know, I've seen that. It looks nice. I think if I want to get a representation of that, I'll wait for the Legion figure to come out, because that'll be more sized appropriately with the Warrior figures. But yeah, that one-step actually does look pretty nice.
Yeah.
So,
That's really... That's what I got.
Anybody else?
John? I've got a pile of loot that I need to ship. It's got Felisaber in it, so I'll be, I guess, one of the few suckers that have like the absolute complete Feral Rex set. So I got to get that. And I got Combiner Wars G1 Megatron. He's nice.
Cool.
He's better than I expected, actually. Cool. So, yeah, I think I was going in ready to not like him, but I do like him.
That probably helped your perception of it ultimately. I think if I was going to jump in on Feral Rex, I'd probably go for the full, like all six of them, just to have the full thing too. Because it's like, you're so close. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
And of all the Predakings out there, that one looks the most visually impressive, I think, of the ones that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yeah, this one comes with some neat like add-ons for the other five guys. So like, some rubber stoppers for Feral Rex's like feet, so you can like pose him better, and some other like replacement things for the other guys. Some new heads for Bovis and Fortis, because their original heads look pretty similar, so they are more they have different expressions, so you can plug in new heads on them, or new faces, I should say. So it's neat.
Cool.
Hey, John. Also, I noticed on Twitter you're at that John D. And you're also selling some figures.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Because Diecast brought this up, so don't call me a shill.
Right.
Just call Diecast a good friend. yeah, I'm selling my set of Fans Project, not Stunticons, complete with box paperwork, perfect condition, because Daddy needs a dystopia. So help me out.
You know, it's... I love that set. I have the same set, and I told John on Twitter, if I had the connection to Dystopia as Metro Titan that a lot of people do, I would probably do the same thing. But since I've got Utopia himself, I really don't need the second one. But I can understand the trade-off there, because a G1 Metro Titan you could not get for the price of Dystopia.
I turned Uranos into Utopia, which was more than fair. And I'm looking to do the same. Also, I would like to say that after seeing some of the alternate transformations for Combiner Wars Minasaur, I'm fine with him. Like they may not be official transformations, but people have figured out a way to make him look pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, Rob, you had a thrift store find. Why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, I found Beast Wars Razor Claw for $1.50, which, you know, being in Maryland, I could not get the blue crab. You just kind of have to. Also, it's nice figure.
I swear, I am going to go to this Magic Goodwill one day, and I will find nothing.
Yeah, probably. Well, I mean, you don't hear about all the days that Rob goes and doesn't find anything. So, like, you know, when it's magic. The other times, it's just a Goodwill.
Yeah, it's been kind of slim picking lately. This is, like, the best thing I've found in about a month, so maybe more.
All right, so let's jump into the news. So last week we were talking about the Humble Bundle with where you could get all of More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise, or the Transformers, and Dark Cybertron if you paid at the time about $15. So you could get tons and tons of comic, a massive value of comics for $15, and a lot of people did. So that actually ended this afternoon, and I didn't see the final numbers, but the last number I saw... there had been nearly 13,000 purchases of the bundle, and it contributed over $150,000 to the Hasbro Children's Fund. So, to That's everyone awesome. Out there who bought into this, A, enjoy your comics, and B, thank you for giving to a very good cause and giving generously.
Yes.
That is just fantastic on all counts. Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody back to the IDW people are just, like, staggered by the performance of this. And with good reason too. These are really good comic books, and even though you missed the bundle, keep an eye out for like Comixology sales and things like that, because it's worth going back and reading through. Or you could go to tfradio.net/Amazon and start shopping for like the trade paperbacks. Just saying. So
and the complete Allspark Almanac.
tfradio.net/Almanac. So I think we're gonna kick off with the Ballad of Exhaust. Because it's one of those weeks again.
About a man named Jeff. does anyone have a Beverly Hillbillies, you know, audio file they can queue up?
We're not doing a soundboard here, Don. Okay. So Exhaust.
We're not high tech rednecks either. We don't have like just as our ringtone Beverly Hillbillies. But although
I got a Sanford and Son theme for my dad's phone some years ago, and that seemed appropriate enough. Okay, so Exhaust is due to be released in Japan in less than 2 weeks from this recording date. So it's time for more things to be happening. So Hasbro Asia, to start us off, has canceled their distribution of Exhaust to the markets they serve in Asia.
Apparently.
Reportedly?
Reportedly. Yeah.
Can we settle on reportedly?
Yes, and that has been reported.
But this, for among other effects this has, including a lot of retailers not having a supply line now, the exclusive coin version is not going to be available anymore, because that's something Hasbro Asia does with its releases.
It's hard to say whether they just didn't make the coin, or like you said, they're completely not distributing the figure at all, which bears the question, does that mean that the Japan market is going to have a lot more?
Well, yeah, that's really the question. And we started to touch on this a little in pre-show, and I kind of held us off for that very point, because Hasbro Asia has to be getting these from somewhere, and if they're not going to distribute them, the toys obviously are already produced and ready to be shipped out. Like, it's not going to be a last-minute production before they go on the trucks and the trains around Asia. So, like, if they're not distributing this, all of it has to go somewhere, and it's going to be interesting to see. Okay, so moving ahead with this, we heard from Big Bad Toy Store that they are still not going to be able to sell this in the U.S. because, short version is, Philip Morris's legal department is not satisfied with the changes made to it. It still looks close enough to Marlboro trade dress to be a problem. So, right. Big Bad
and
Toy Store is the only...
Chime in before...
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to chime in with the last line of the email they sent out, because I just love it. We look forward to less complicated Takara Transformer releases.
Don't we all?
Yes, we do.
We've only heard this from Big Bad Toy Store so far. They may be the only ones speaking up about it right now. Others might be, you know, trying to push more. We don't really know. But Philip Morris is still trying to block this from being sold, because Takara Tomy did make changes to the deco. Whether that was enough for their immediate purposes at home, apparently, because we're not hearing anything about the Japanese release being canceled, it's not enough elsewhere, though, at this point. So this afternoon, we received word Robot Kingdom still intends to fill their orders, but it's not stated either way whether orders to the United States are still included in that. But that's where we found out that they do have an alternate supply of them, but without the coins they would normally have, because Robot Kingdom is in Hong Kong and would get supply from Hasbro Asia. So that basically brings us back around to what Diecast was leading us to. If Hasbro Asia's canceled their distribution, where are all those produced toys going? There's a reasonable chance that there's going to be a glut of these in Japan, and anybody who's equipped enough to, like, be able to get some out will be able to get these, but I think, like, normal retail channels might be a little complicated.
Yeah, and the whole thing's kind of like, Robot Kingdom, everyone was saying, was going to cancel their orders, mm-hmm. and then they came back and said, no, we're not going to cancel, we just can't give you the coin, because the coin comes from Asia, so that kind of backs the fact that maybe Asia is canceling its distribution. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at this point, no one really knows, and no one knows if any of these stores that normally ship to the U.S. are going to ship the figure you know, right. to a U.S. address. I mean, you mm-hmm. can hope so, but...
Like, the way this was playing out weeks and months ago, the pre-order pages were being taken down, but orders were not being canceled. So, they may be under an obligation not to accept orders, but they're probably still going to try to slide by and ship out the existing orders if they can. My advice, everybody, is don't name the retailers that you still have active pre-orders through, because you know, any mention can draw attention and get things messed up.
I'm gonna jump on a soapbox here just for a second, if I could, Chris.
Oh Christ!
Does anyone else think this has gotten way blown out of proportion, and that if they had just released the hood undecorated from the first changeover, it would have solved most of the problems? I mean, it just seems like this.
Yeah, it would have helped if they made it be blank white. That probably would have reduced the similarity.
Yeah, it seems like that this has turned into a gigantic cluster fudge that it didn't need to be, and I just don't understand why it's become this giant. It's a product they want to sell. And I understand Philip Morris's point of view. I understand all that. I grew up with all the cigarette ads and stuff like that. I understand that. But if you buy this toy and you give it to a kid, that kid's first thought is not going to be, hey, let's go out and buy some marbles because I have this toy in my hand. They're not going to think that anyone buying this toy, if they make any connection between the colors and the cigarettes, they're going to be old enough to know about it and probably already smoking if they're going to be smoking anyway. So I'm just saying,
problem being that doesn't particularly reduce Philip Morris's legal obligation to prevent their trademarks from being construed in any way as being marketed to children.
Yep, that is exactly right. That is it's not even about infringement. It's not about that at all. It's just that it resembles it too much. It's a toy. And there is a case that could be brought against them, and it can fall back on Hasbro too, which I think is the real reason Hasbro Asia has canceled their distribution of this, because it is such a thing at this point, and Hasbro does not want to be related to that in any way they can avoid.
Yes, Philip Morris is doing this, so Philip Morris does not get sued.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just unfortunately a point of law, and common sense is not going to come into this.
It just seems that they had made the hood blank at the second revision. That should have taken care of everything.
Or solid red, maybe.
Yeah, at the same time. The
Decepticon purple?
Yeah.
Big problem there is that Takara is kind of in a bind because kind of the masterpiece thing is being as accurate to the original designs as possible.
And like so, revising it the way they did is almost an unprecedented step to take.
Yeah,
right. It just seems like it's just causing people who want the figure who can't get it. Takara's not getting the sales they need in this economy.
Oh, Takara will be fine.
Everybody's losing for no reason. I'm sorry. It just really makes me mad when I see this level of lack of common sense involved in something that could have been fixed very easily. I'm sorry. It's just.
I mean, I understand your perspective on this. I understand where you're coming from on this, but unfortunately, like, as rational as the argument seems, it's just, it doesn't really work that way, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The only thing that confused me, and I want to bring this up, is that's a U.S. law, isn't it? So isn't it different overseas? Like, why is Asia going ahead and canceling this? I don't get the connection there. That's what I'm really having a hard time with.
Couple of thoughts on that. One is that we don't know about the international state of laws about tobacco products. That, you know, there could be very similar laws throughout Europe and Asia for all we know. For another is that Hasbro's parent company is in the United States, where if anyone had standing to bring a lawsuit, that is where it would happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's like, I think the fact that Hasbro, like I said, Hasbro is headquartered in the U.S., and I think that's a really big part of why Hasbro Asia does not want to touch this.
Well, you know, I don't have a pre-order anymore. I dropped my pre-order to pay for some other things. It's just I hate seeing all my collector friends not get the figure they want because of dumbness.
Like, what's going to be funny to me is when there are like piles and piles of these in Japan marked down to like 1,000 yen, and they can't even sell all the ones they have because of all the Hasbro Asia cancellation, but we can't get any.
Mandarake is going to use those boxes for shingles.
So in other Masterpiece news, we have new pictures of Masterpiece Trax giving us our first good look at Raoul and Blaster.
With no eyes. Of course. Yep.
As we surmise.
Yeah.
Yes. Blaster's tinier than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
They can do mini cons that small and that intricate, but they can't paint eyes on a figurine.
The figurine doesn't have distinctly molded in eye sockets, Don. The figurine is also like the size of a grain of rice.
Yeah, I think in that case the precedent is the fact that an awful lot of scale figures at that particular size are not molded with eyes for like model railroads, military models, things like that. I think that's kind of, again, more adult-oriented collectibles, and I think that's probably the thing they're going for here.
And like the model railroad thing for one, like just to touch on one example Rob used, the ones of those that come pre-painted never have facial details painted on either.
Mm-hmm.
It's too small and precise for like factory line production to get right consistently.
I'm just wondering when they ultimately do Road Rage if we're going to get the other color scheme for Raoul from Autobop.
That would not be a bad idea, to be honest. Yeah, and Twincast. Twincast.
Yes. Exactly.
I'm brilliant.
The thing that I really like is the stand.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
this
flight
is
stand.
The first MP figure that's going to have a stand, so.
Seekers.
Technically, oh, second. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, Star Saber, because his shield can be used as a stand, so.
But you know what?
Didn't we tell you how wrong you were about that last week, Doug?
I thought Rob brought up the Star Saber thing last week, too.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, though.
Him, he's due.
What?
Well, I'm saying he's due out within the next 2 weeks as well, isn't he? Him and Exalt are due out at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, technically, you know, some stores have him listed for the 15th, so.
Okay.
No, but anyway, Trax actually looks really, really nice.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to say surprisingly so, but surprisingly so. Like, you expect Masterpieces to look pretty good just because they're Masterpieces, but this looks really, really good.
It does.
It's a shame I don't care about Trax, or I might want to get one.
Oh, I've already pre-ordered mine. It will be mine. There's no way around it.
Trax has that, to me, Trax is, blue is not my favorite color. It never has been. But the shade of blue that character is.
It's pretty.
It's one of the prettiest blues I've seen. And I think it's just, now this is just me, but everything's so balanced. It's a lot of blue, but it's broken up by the highlights on the forearm, the chest shield, the wing and all that. It's just a very balanced looking color on the figure.
Yeah, I agree.
Just looks really nice.
I agree. I'm not typically one to buy Masterpieces. I don't even have any right now, but this looks nice. If it was a character I cared more about, I'd probably want to get one. So we have in-hand photos of Generations book, I should say, 2014 Volume 2 Ghost Shooter, which was the exclusive recolor of Nightbeat.
Yes.
I think
it looks good.
I think this is going to go on a list of BotCon impulse purchases for me.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be cheaper than the stepper I got at 2012.
Yeah.
Probably not, though.
Yeah, I've had this on pre-order for quite some time, too.
I don't want it enough to pre-order it, but I think when I'm there and I see one and it's, you know, under $80, ideally, you know, it's just going to be like, okay, I'm doing it.
Yeah, the only thing about the Milton ones is, you know, everybody wanted Ricochet, and that was the hard one to get for the longest time. Because when we were at BotCon, we were both trying to find one, and we got lucky and got them before they all sold out.
Yeah.
Then Artfire happened, and then he wound up. I figured he would be as hot as Stepper, and he wasn't. You can still find him on clearance for $80.
Yeah.
So this, I love it. but I don't know if to wait and see if he's going to do like Art Fire.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get.
What if he's going to be like
Art Fire is really nice too. I can't understand why those shelf form the way they do.
It's just not as popular of a thing. Like Art Fire is almost a little too obscure. Stepper had a little more exposure because Hasbro latched onto Ricochet for a few things, so there's more like perceptive consciousness of it. But Art Fire always kind of stayed behind the scenes a little bit because there was only the G1 toy, and then there was the Million Publishing one. So I think that's kind of to do with it. So on that basis, I could see Ghost Shooter going either way. I think people's preference or not for this mold is going to inform a lot of that too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I think it's gorgeous. I mean, I mean the Nightbeat version of that is pretty damn good looking.
Yeah, this mold is weird for me. Like, I didn't care for it at all as Bumblebee or Goldfire, but I love it as Nightbeat, and Ghost Shooter looks fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely interested, just probably not enough to get it right away. So here's something interesting that came up over the weekend. So there's the Robots in Disguise exhibit at the Indianapolis Children's Museum going on right now. And they had some unproduced stuff, some prototypes, some concept stuff. Among them was a Voyager-size G1 Starscream, which, upon casual observation, very much appears to be the Legends toy blown up.
I'm still not 100% sure on that. A lot of the specific details are different, but again, it's just about the same engineering. So, I think you're right in that it was, something that was tossed around at the same time as the late Beast Hunter Cyberverse upscales, and just they decided not to go with that.
Yeah.
It's not bad looking.
It's not. If it had knees, I would be interested in seeing this still produced at some point. I'm kind of a stickler for knees, though.
Yeah.
Just one of my weird tendencies.
They could add knees. I mean, they would have to redo the mold, but they could add knees and fill in some of those gaps and make this a pretty nice Voyager if they wanted to.
On the other hand, they have the leader one coming out later this year, so.
Yeah.
Exactly. That they're going to repaint that probably a couple times.
I swear those guns are in reference to something. That they're based on a previous toy, but I can't think of what.
Yeah, those are not a Seeker's guns.
All right, let's look again.
It's
yeah. I want to say.
Let me see if I can place them.
It looks almost like Bombshell's, gun, but it's not. Doesn't that?
Yeah, those are certainly a thing, aren't they?
Yeah,
you're right. They do look like something I said, that I can't quite place.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if they were designed for this. Like, the color indicates they were at least cast along with this, but, they could have been borrowed off of something else and just run with the other parts in the mold.
Yeah, wasn't there... I want to say there was another toy at the exhibit using similar plastic colors, but I may just be misremembering that.
The only two things I remember seeing were this and the upscaled Cyberverse smokescreen with the light bar on it, which was not in colors.
That's right. No.
But this seemed more interesting to talk about.
Yeah. Well, his arms look so weird that they don't even have, the ability to fold down.
Oh, no. The arms can go down. They're just posed that way.
Oh, okay. It just...
Like, you see the little pin there in the middle? That's the point it swivels around.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. The shoulder is basically further down the arm than what you would think.
Well, and think about how the Legends Seeker works, too. The shoulder struts are not pushed in all the way.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got Thundercracker and Starscream here. I was actually examining them side by side with the picture to... verify, this is the same engineering essentially. This would be like the upscaled Predaking and Beast Hunters Optimus, where it's taking design cues and engineering from those Cyberverse toys, but it is a fully newly designed thing. So, details are different.
I would actually like to see Yeah, I would like to see something like this get produced. I would love to have some Voyager Seekers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
This does not look like a bad way to go.
No, not really. No. I mean, it would definitely be good for, like, you know, crowd filling, too. Like, you know, produce these in generic Seeker colors.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, how many of us still want some background Seekers from More Than Meets the Eye? Just, you know.
Right here. Me.
I mean,
That's not the classic mold.
No, you know, I bought the Takara Fallen Cybertron Skywarp because it don't look anything like a Skywarp, but the colors work pretty well as a generic background purple.
Yeah,
Seeker.
I have that as well.
Yeah. Plus, I really like that mold, so I didn't mind buying another one.
Yeah. See, that I want a Rainmaker set out of that mold.
Yeah. I agree with you. Mold. I want more, like, if the club really is retiring the Classic Seeker, I want to see the Fall of Cybertron one step up and fill its place, because that's a toy I want to own a ton of. I would not get sick of that easily.
Well, wouldn't the Armada Starscream Generations mold be a bit better? It wouldn't look out of place in an Earth mode kind of way?
But the Fall of Cybertron one's a better figure.
So much better.
And Seekers... Okay. Yeah, Rainmakers really need a Cybertronian mode.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too.
Which
that's true.
You know, some of us have been having trouble finding the Megatron we want in stores, but fortunately, Toys R Us is not the only option anymore. The leader assortment has started appearing at Walmart in the United States. So hopefully, that means that when there is a glut of Armada Megatrons filling every Toys R Us across the country, we'll be able to go to Walmart and hopefully Targets and other stores and actually get, you know, Thundercrackers and Ultra Magnuses a little later this year.
Yeah, I saw somebody on Twitter who basically went to a Walmart that opened today and they had a full complement of these. So here's hoping.
So is it more than one case?
I know what I'm doing after work tomorrow.
That's where I got mine. So.
Did the person on Twitter see more than one case worth or?
How many do a case?
Two.
One of each?
One of each.
Yeah, I think it looked like at least two cases worth in the photo I saw.
Good, because Toys R Us is only getting one case in.
Yeah.
I only saw one of each at Walmart this last Saturday, so.
Well,
sorry.
The last time I was at my local Walmart, they had the tag up, but no product as of yet. I think that port strike or the port slowdown has really affected a lot of stores because I've not seen.
It did.
I got my Megatron about 2 weeks ago from Toys R Us, but I have yet to see anything anywhere else
except Remains of the Black Jack Wave.
Yeah, I checked both my local Walmarts and they didn't even have price tags up listed yet. So.
So speaking of leaders, we have out-of-box images of Generations leader class Thundercracker. Which, hey, that's Thundercracker.
Uh-huh.
Yep, you know, that's sure a thing that's taking up space until Ultra Magnus comes out.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody wanting bigger Seekers, I mean, that's not a bad mold to use, but I'm so Seekered out. It's an easy pass for me.
Blasphemy.
I'm sorry. It's just, you know, I've got plenty of Seekers in various flavors. I'm done, if they go clearance at some point, I might pick them up, but it's just not something that I'm ecstatic for.
I kind of agree.
I'd rather have clearance.
I'd rather have Voyagers if we're going to get bigger Seekers.
Yeah.
But, like, I kind of... Okay, so with some of the Toy Fair stuff, the Hasbro guys are basically wanting to keep a certain sense of scale with the stuff. So I think doing leader-class Seekers is probably an expression of that. Have the Seekers be bigger than most everybody individually. Because they're planes, and they should be big. Which I'm sure works very well for their logic.
Yeah, at a smaller price point, it would be a lot easier to get a lot more use out of the molds.
Yeah.
They'd sell better because I mean you're talking $45 to $50 a figure at the leader class price point.
You're lucky if you get two uses of that mold in 1 year, like we're getting this year. And I imagine early 2016.
And that sound like
Go ahead, John.
Skywarp.
Oh, I was going to say, not sound like a old man scale McPhee. It's weird to have like Seeker's Tower over Motor Master. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We're almost looking combiners in the eye. A little weird.
But no. No, Matt's on my line of thought here too. The early 2016 probably going to be Skywarp.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't necessarily complain. I don't know that I will buy one, but I wouldn't complain about it existing.
If they did a Sunstorm, I wouldn't complain at all.
Yeah. If it was colored right is the thing. I don't want like Hasbro yellow Sunstorm. I want an orange and white Sunstorm.
Orange Sunstorm, yes.
Right. The only thing that's bad about this is the way they're doing the waves is, you know, Skywarp, if he's by himself, he's going to sit. And then Magnus, they're not going to buy a lot of him because Skywarp's sitting. And then everyone's going to want Magnus, and Magnus is going to sell real well. And then they'll buy more the next time, which will be, Starscream. And then we're going to be like, now they're going to be.
Yeah, then when we get Powered Convoy or Delta Magnus, whatever you want to call him, yeah. You'll be looking for them, and all it is Starscreams and Skywarps and Thundercrackers sitting on shelves.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It's off of the Thundercracker. It may not ship by itself. They may put Jetfire back in the rotation.
No, we already know the case assortment for that wave. It is just Thundercracker. Leaders have shipped solid packed except for Megatron, and I think in that case, like internally, it's being considered more like this is a variant figure, but it's still, you know, just a case of Megatrons.
Yeah.
So it's just so they don't have two assortments of that mold back to back, where they're 90% the same except for the deco. So that's kind of how I'm reading that, since every other assortment we know about is solid pack one figure. So finally in our normal news before we get into third party and the like, we have a Play With This 2 update. Their current total is over $54,000 raised, and they still have 18 days to go. They have not yet met their minimum $80,000 goal, but at the rate they're going, I don't see that being a problem.
It's close. It's gonna, what are they, 25,000 off right now?
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah.
26. I mean, they'll get there. I really think they'll get there.
Yeah, I think so, too. No, I
know
mean...
so, because you and I talked about it on the latest minicast at tfradio.net.
Good plug, John. Good plug.
RFC minicast episode 3.
Mm-hmm. And I understand there's a special topic with a special panelist for episode 4.
Yeah, he's in the room. So
definitely look forward to
talk
one.
About him. Let's not speak of him. Hey, by the way, another quick plug. This show is like half plugs. This week, I don't know when it's going to air, but I am recording a podcast, a minicast with one Liquid Velcro. So that'll be fun. Nobody knows who the heck that is, but you'll learn fast.
That should be an interesting listen. As the only person in this room who knows who that is, that should be an interesting listen. Well, Don, do you know LV?
I've heard the name before, but if I've spoke with him, I don't know it.
All right.
But I know the name.
If wow, you spoke that's with really him, like you, meta.
If you spoke with him, you would know you spoke with him.
anyway, stay tuned.
So it's that time of the show again, tfradio.net/Amazon for all of your Amazon purchasing needs. You'll give some kickbacks to the show. You'll keep us running and, you know, you'll make Kilby happy because you've bought something from us and made less of the server come out of his pocket. And also you can go to tfradio.net/almanac and get that thing that Matt is waving in front of the camera.
And see, the good thing is, the best thing is, if you go to Amazon.com and buy your bombshells, we all get kickbacks.
We all get nothing. Brian gets a dystopia.
That's true. No, well, it kind of is, because, like, if you go and you buy enough stuff and get enough money back our way, you probably will set Kilby up with a dystopia.
That's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, he'll have to face Kim with that thing.
Same time.
Well, Kim would probably be fine with it if he can present it as, you know, people bought a bunch of stuff from our affiliate link, so none of this cost us any money.
But do we want Kim to be okay with it?
Yes.
Will she believe that?
Yes, we do.
The thing is, though, as much fun as it is to poke fun at Kilby's marriage, I don't really want it to fall apart on him, because a happy Kilby is good for everybody. A happy Kilby is easier to make fun of himself directly and not feel bad about it later.
Yeah, you know, I mean, an unofficial toy shouldn't cause divorce. It should at least be first party.
Right, right.
Or the combination of the whole collection.
So later this summer, when Comic-Con Devastator comes up, and that's $250, and he has to get it because it's G2 colors, let that destroy his marriage, because it's at least for an official toy.
Yes.
So speaking of toys that aren't official, we only have a couple third-party items this week, but this one, I'm kind of sad Kilby's not here to talk about this, because I'd really like to get his input again. DX9 has revealed their new figure based on Rodimus Prime, which they're calling Carrie, which I'm kind of grasping at for the reference on that.
He's carrying on the role of leader. He's carrying the Matrix. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
He's carrying on the name of Prime.
I think they're calling this Carrie Light or Darkest Hour.
I just thought Light or Darkest Hour was the slogan with it.
Oh, maybe.
Man,
DX9's
I hope that is
been
his
doing
full
some
name.
Really nice stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like a Nebulan name. Carrie, light our darkest hour. I live only to destroy our mutual enemies.
Yes, that's on his tax return.
Print small.
The cool thing is, it's supposed to be totally integrated along the same lines as the Titanium.
But better.
Better. But I mean,
it does not have an alternate hot rod mode. It is completely 100% Rodimus Prime.
Yeah.
Although they could have wrangled that as a triple changer to become a hot rod and still all be integrated, I would be mighty impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought maybe that could be some kind of like hidden feature or something like that. Because someone asked me that right before the show, and I just said, I don't know. I just now saw it for the first time.
No, it is 100% Rodimus Prime. No hot rod.
Well, I'd imagine this be a lot of panels.
Yeah. Probably some.
But it looks like it all.
Go ahead. No, after you. I insist.
Oh, I'm just saying, looking at the figure, it looks like there's a lot under his chest as far as folded panels and what's around the legs as well. But it looks like a lot of it goes in the upper torso.
Yeah, I think. Okay, so like you can see the spoiler wings are part of the side panels of the trailer, and I think besides that, there's going to be a lot folded up on the back. It's probably going to have some backpack mass on it. Legs.
There's a picture of the back. It's pretty messy.
Yeah, and like I think the legs are probably just tucked up inside there. So, yeah. I mean, I appreciate the approach they're doing, because like one thing I like about the Titanium a lot is that it is an all-in-one transformation. You get a full Rodimus Prime out of it. I wish the torso collapsed more so there's not that big gap in there, but it's kind of beside the point. No, but like if you look at the vehicle and robot pictures side by side, you can see the cab is like just a small piece of the chest, and it's also the upper arms. So there's a lot more of the toy's mass that is hidden in that back half. But
it's tempting though.
So I'll be getting they showed this compared to actually Iger's Faith Leader, which is smaller than MP10. So if I remember right, Faith Leader was 8 or 9 inches tall. So this is actually going to be a shorter figure than MP10, but it's still going to be like bigger than Autobot cars. So that it basically works out, and hopefully it won't be as prone to self-destructing as the actual masterpiece Rodimus. That's why I wanted Kilby's input on this, because, like, you know, he's the one we really associate the most with Rodimus's exploding on you. Since he went through so much Rodimus trouble in his time, and I just wonder if he's interested in this. If it's something he's, like, looking toward getting to, like, sit on his dystopia as he's out in the streets from his broken home. Okay, maybe it is fun to poke at his marriage falling apart.
Looking at the color photo, the one thing I'm not particularly fond of about this just so far is that it looks like you can kind of see the red edges of the trailer because of how the spoiler is, you know, made from it. I'm not thrilled with that, but it's understandable based on what they have done to make it all work.
Yeah. And DX9's Mirage figure, Invisible, from what I've seen, has been received well. So there's a good chance for this to actually be a decent toy, albeit with a mess on its back. Haha, euphemisms. So our other third-party item, which I'm including more for, like, why purposes, is Omnigonix Spinout, which is a not Sunstreaker figure. This is reportedly about 6 inches tall, putting it more or less deluxe or slightly bigger. And I just have to look at this and wonder why.
It's a masterpiece. It's that, or that's what inches. They're going for.
Not at 6 inches.
I think it says about 7 inches tall, which would be fairly comparable to the Autobot car-sized masterpieces. Yeah.
That seems a little small.
It says 6.3 inches tall is what it's saying.
This is the one from what I've heard that they reversed engineered from like Lambor to make this mold. I mean,
maybe they don't know how to. Maybe they're measuring it in centimeters and don't know how to convert correctly. Maybe it's 63 inches tall and there's an errant decimal point.
But yeah, this is supposed to be a masterpiece-sized figure.
That makes a little more sense. What?
Yeah. Did you see Masterpiece Sideswipe when we were at Shardicon?
Probably.
Yeah, it's really not that tall. It's maybe 6 inches tall. I thought it was like Voyager size. No, it's like smaller than a Voyager, larger than the Deluxe. It's not that big.
Okay. This makes us make a little more sense now. I thought this was just like, hey, let's produce a Deluxe-sized Sunstreaker figure because we're insane.
Yeah, the part that doesn't make any sense to me, well, it makes sense to me, but I don't like that it makes sense to me, is that basically people are trying to get these figures to market before Takara can do their own version.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
At least with that Rodimus Prime thing, I don't think there's a big danger of Takara doing another one of those in the near future.
Yeah.
But if they're gonna do Sunstreaker, wouldn't they already have done it from that Lambor mold? So this might be too.
Because Sunstreaker and Sideswipe were never the same toy in G1. That was just a universe thing. They are different models of car originally, and they would be again. It's not something they can necessarily just like reshell.
Right, and
the masterpiece is all about animation accuracy. So
mm-hmm.
Plus the fact is, at least with Sideswipe, you could get Tiger Tracks and the G2 version out of that. Sunstreaker doesn't have as many ready recolors, so the way I've mentioned my theory is. They would probably want to have him after a figure they can get multiple recolors out of to help pay for the tooling on a figure they can't repaint as much.
Like, and they've basically said that's the case, too, because in an interview last year, I think, like early last year at this point, they were talking about how they did the Datsun cars, and then they did Wheeljack, because they can get a bunch of reuses out of that base Datsun mold, and then they can funnel that into making Wheeljack or a Bumblebee, where they can't get as, they don't have as many options to reuse those molds.
I mean, with Tracks, you can get Road Rage or
Black Tracks,
the Black Tracks,
or Yellow.
Ironhide and Ratchet, you've got several with those. So I think we'll see Sunstreaker and Mirage after we get a run of repaintable characters.
Like, all you can do off of Sunstreaker, I think there was a police variation of Sunstreaker.
Yeah, there was a Diaclone.
And E-Hobby used that as, was that Deep Cover or Clampdown? I don't actually remember
that
anymore.
That was a Sideswipe mold for Deep Cover and Clampdown.
Deep Cover, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever been. I don't think the most expensive police car has ever been done as an E-Hobby.
And actually, I'm stupid anyway because they have not reissued Sunstreaker because that mold destroyed.
Yes, there is a red Diaclone version of Sunstreaker as well. So
yeah, and they never reissued Sunstreaker. That's kind of where I was tripping on that one. That mold's been lost for a long time, just like Mirage.
It'd be nice if they could. If there was any unused artwork for a G2 Sunstreaker, that they could now find use that.
That's certainly one approach if that did exist, but I think I think just making something up for the Red Sun Streaker would probably be the way they would go.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a name for the Red Sun Streaker? Wasn't it Hellraiser?
I don't remember hearing that one. Maybe that was like a fan thing.
Could be, because the wiki doesn't bring up anything for it. So.
Well, like, the Transformers names for the Diaclone colors come from the e-hobby uses, because e-hobby took those decos so they could get, so there would be more use out of the G1 reissue stuff. So they invented new characters, how we got Crosscut and Clamped Down and all them. Mm-hmm. Sunstreaker never was able to do that because they couldn't reuse the mold they didn't have anymore. So, that may well be like a common fan name. I'm not familiar with it, but I don't think that's ever been officialized. I don't really like. They would have to do something like Exhaust, where they make up a new character for Masterpiece specifically to get something out of Red Sunstreaker. Just hopefully not, putting a Joe Camel logo on it or something.
Yeah, we'll put Budweiser on that one.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be blue? Isn't that Budweiser's color?
Well, red, white, and blue, really.
Okay. I'm just being dumb now. No, I've been wanting to make that Joe Camel reference since the start of the show, and I just, had an opening.
Yeah.
Well, yo, Joe.
I was actually wondering if and when I get Exhaust, if I'll be able to take like my generation's Cuphead, the Iger Cuphead with the cigar in it, and be able to put it on.
I think
Exhaust.
It'll be too small.
I will try though.
If
somebody,
that mold,
somebody upscale that head.
If the mold head folds away, I don't know how Wheeljack works. If it folds away where there's just, a level surface between the shoulders, you can just set it down on there for a photo.
Yeah. At least for a photo.
Yeah. What you really probably need, though, is, like, the original generation's cup head where, it's got the hollow cheeks and everything looks all emaciated. That's the simulation of years of smoking taking its toll. That would be
well,
the thing
I
do
have
to do
him,
that.
Too, so we could do that.
See, that's perfect.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages. You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
This episode of Radio Free Cybertron is brought to you by you. You shop at Amazon.com already, why not do it through our website? It doesn't cost you a cent more than the Amazon.com price, and it helps us out tremendously. Go to tfradio.net and click on the Amazon logo, or just go to tfradio.net/Amazon.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
Wrapping us up, Rob, what else can we find on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, I did a feature over the weekend for people who haven't been following More Than Meets the Eye. If you want to know who Minimus Ambus is and why he lives in Ultramagnus' chest, you can go over to tformers.com and read up on that. And this week, you've been really busy. You've got how many Legends reviews up so far? Six?
As of today,
Wind
six.
Charger, yeah, Windcharger, Thundercracker, Powerglide, Bombshell, Huffer, and Blackjack, and more on the way.
As of today, I'm actually all caught up with Combiner Wars Legends figures.
Ah,
so
nice.
What was your favorite?
Blackjack.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, hands down, Blackjack. Powerglide would be a really strong contender if it had bicep swivels. That is, like, my major disappointment with that. But Blackjack, like, the worst thing Blackjack does is just be a little bit weird in how the car is shaped. But it's still really cool looking. Blackjack just does everything really well. I'm looking forward to that actively as the Rodimus recolor at this point, just because I like the mold so much. Like, as much stuff as they want to do with this, I will gladly buy it.
Yeah.
On a surprise down note, though, I was just kind of bored with Bombshell.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really wrong with it. It's just not interesting to me.
Hopefully, if
they get around to Kickback at some point in the near future, that'll be more. It'll be more like Scrapnel and actually like catch some interest from me and not just kind of be there.
I really hope we get that by the end of this year.
Oh, it's not going to be the end of this year. It'll probably be like, you know, mid next year because we already know some of the early toys for 2016 through the inventory leaks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because like we're getting Shockwave and like Shockwave's the new mold, and then we have probable recolors that I cannot name off the top of my head, unfortunately.
Now, Shockwave? This is the first I've heard of this.
Yeah, it came from a store inventory leak, a Legends class Shockwave.
Okay.
Which presumably will be paired with Bruticus. Oh, also, they're going to do Chop Shop, which everybody's assuming will be a Scrapnel recolor. Because that mold's also due for it.
Makes sense.
It'll be a Scrapnel with no reflector. But yeah, we do know Legends stuff for what should be early next year. So Kickback is not happening this year, but I would be very surprised if we didn't see it before Combiner Wars ends out, right? The same inventory leak is also where we heard Bruticus and Scattershot for Voyagers.
Oh, I didn't even hear that. That's
I got a feeling if Kickback is even shown or announced, it'll be at BotCon. Because that's where they shut off Scrapnel, and they talked about Bombshell and Kickback, because they know there's certain trios that go together. So if we get a reveal for Kickback, it should be a BotCon.
Yeah, and then a general public reveal at Comic-Con a few weeks later.
Yeah, BotCon's the only place you would get a reaction from Kickback.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, you know, when BotCon is in California, it makes sense they're going to hold back more for Comic-Con than they do otherwise, but you know, if BotCon's over here and Comic-Con's over here, they're probably going to be more inclined to show more of the stuff, since, you know, it's a no photos allowed thing, it's just word of mouth, and then they can still have their major reveal for, like, people to pay attention, people in mainstream media paying attention to it at Comic-Con. I still think it doesn't completely make sense given the nature of it, but I can understand why they do it the way they do it and make the agreements they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, between BotCon and Comic-Con, I expect to see, like, actually see Shockwave and probably the assortment of Legends and stuff after that, too, for next year. Because we've basically seen this year's stuff with the exception of the Masquerade Autobot Deluxes.
Right.
I want to see where the G2 Constructicons are going to land, because there's too many
Comic-Con.
Places they can land.
Comic-Con.
Yeah. They'll reveal that at BotCon too.
Yeah. Well, not both though. I'm sure they're not going to do both colors.
No, they're probably not going to do both colors. Period. Like, it's not going to be a matter of they're not going to do both colors for one show. They're going to pick one color.
I want to know where any of the G2 colors are going to show up. Where my G2 Aerial Bot's going to be.
I'm thinking the G2 Aerial Bots will probably be this year's Amazon thing, but...
Ooh, that'd be interesting. I want G2 Protectobots. Come on.
Well, wait a minute. That's actually, Rob, that's an outstanding idea, because they've already got the Takara set coming out as a set. They could run that in the G2 colors and just have them design a G2 box with the existing box. So really, the box that's already done, since the car is doing the box set, they didn't have to change the colors of the toys in the box itself.
That's actually a valid point. Like, they have all the dies and stuff to cut out the boxes. They just need to do a new graphics package for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good point, Don. Thank you.
Yeah,
no problem. And again, I would love to see another. I hope the gentleman that did the box for Bruticus comes back and does it for the Aerial Box. Got to have matching boxes. We gotta have matching two boxes.
That would be fantastic.
Only way they could do that right is if Slingshot arrives like separated into multiple pieces, like gold Slingshot.
So what they would do, they would invent a G2 color scheme for Alpha Bravo, and they would pack in a baggie of gold glitter.
I'd go with that.
It's the cremated remains of their former teammate. Yeah.
But now, actually, we can extrapolate that. If Takara does box sets for the rest of the figures.
They will.
If they do those. There is your Amazon exclusives for the next couple of years ready to go. It'll be a lot. All they have to do, like I said, design the new box and change the colors. But your packaging and everything is done.
Yeah, Amazon or whoever else wants them. I mean, I see these still happening. It's just early in the life cycle for it to happen, I think.
Oh, right. But I mean,
I don't want these to be a yearly Amazon release. I don't want to wait 3 years for my G2 right. Protectobots.
Oh, I know that. But I'm just saying, at least now they're not – they don't have to specially create a box, a package, a design. Mm-hmm. They can just take a blank box and color around it. A figures that are already in a tray. No, I'm saying, you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I got this great image when you said that of literally a white box and someone with a box of crayons sitting there coloring the design. Hey, that's what I was laughing at, Don.
That could be a exclusive in a white box. So you can have James Roberts, whoever you want, doing the IDW book at a show, draw whatever you want on your aerial bot blank box.
Or, and since it's James Roberts, have him write a story on it.
He could probably do that. the other thing I am thinking is that, you know, last year we did get two big Amazon exclusives, Comic-Con exclusives. So we may get one of the combiners as the secondary Comic-Con exclusive and then get another one in G2 colors as an Amazon thing down the road. That may be how we get them a little bit faster than we otherwise would.
And, like, we can have more than one Amazon exclusive in a year also.
Yeah.
There's no rule as far as that goes.
Are you sure they're not going to do, like, the aerial bots with hair and...
But like as a Bonville act?
Package.
Oh my god!
No,
my
you got to go with a different genre.
Hey, that set
like
did sell out.
Yeah. They got to do a. They do a. I got it. They'll do a Soul Plane themed aerial bots gift set.
Oh, I just thought about this. Combining my favorite things: aerial bots and G2 colors.
And Kim Possible.
No, aerial bots.
Code Lyoko?
And the box can be folded into a purple griffin from Aerial Assault.
You know,
I actually like that idea.
Yeah, I cannot complain about this concept, Don. Well done. Well done, Don.
I am so not used to Don having ideas that we like.
Wait a minute, what?
I know, right?
Don't this scare is him like, off. I need him for mini casts.
This is uncharted territory.
No.
No, that's a good point, though. Like, we could have two large SDCC exclusives, and the whole thing with the Knights of Unicron, that was basically a passion project from someone on the design team who is basically playing into knowledge that the person in charge of Transformers is into heavy metal. So that's how that came about, and whether it sold well or not, I wouldn't see that being a thing that would happen again, because it was just like, you know, this would be cool to do. Okay! You know, it's not like, this is a new direction we should take our exclusives in. No, if anything, I want to see...
A G2 Superior with, like, a two-up of Keytar Rat, that would be nice.
Oh...
You know, I'm imagining the Comic-Con Devastators in like the G2 packaging. Like you turn on its side, and it's like a giant blister card. It's a box, but it's like a giant blister card.
It's a box, but it's like a card.
You know, it's like the G2 artwork of Devastator, but the deco.
Well, why couldn't
like
they just make? Why couldn't they just make a giant clamshell for it?
Oh, why they did Galactus and a few of those from a few years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, think about the packaging like Hero Megatron and the stuff at that size came in, the full plastic on the outside clamshell. Why couldn't they just do that bigger for the Constructicons?
Instead of slicing your fingers open, you would slice your whole arm off.
Just like Nancy.
Open it.
Yeah, Massey's already tried to do that to you. Clearly. Can't be done. So don't worry about it. No, that was that would be a blister pack that large. Sounds like torture.
Well, I don't think it would be. Torture. I don't think it would
be
like
keeping that thing mint.
I don't think it would be heat sealed on the ends or anything. But you know, it'd just be.
Yeah, only if they pose Devastator like Han Solo.
I was even thinking, you know, just have them in individual vehicle modes in the clamshell, not even. Although I do like your Carbonite Devastator idea. That's selfish and appealing.
It's Comic-Con. Just layer on the references.
Yeah, right?
Or even worse, we will get both Devastators at Comic-Con, but we sold three of one color in one set and the other three in the same set.
Oh.
And then the six in the other set. So that way you can still make a full Devastator. They're just mixed colors. So you have to buy both sets to get both Devastators.
Oh, that's evil, Don.
Two sets.
They wouldn't do that.
Even more evil. You get two sets of the same three Constructicons in each set. So you have to have both to make either Devastator.
What is wrong with the two of you?
Yeah, the internets would explode if they did that.
Oh, man. That's
okay,
terrible.
Or you know what they could do? Even worse. And this is they decide they're gonna do the Diaclone colors as exclusives.
But they random pack them.
No. This is even worse. They blow them up like to leader class, like they did the Beast Wars the Legends. They just blow them up leader class and then release them one per year.
Oh, the Beast Hunter sled? Yeah.
Yeah, so they blow them from Voyager to Leader, so we get one a year for 6 years.
Okay, here's what they do. You can get all six Constructicons in one G2 color scheme at Comic-Con. You have to buy them individually, and they're blind boxed. and you can only buy one at a time. So every time you buy one blind box, you have to get back at the back of the line, so make your way up there again to buy the next one and just keep going.
And one of them, one figure is one per case.
Yes.
At which point, Mattel will voluntarily choose to merge with Hasbro out of all respect.
Now, you realize if any of this happens that we will all be lined up and shot for giving them that.
And I will be laughing until the moment the bullet hits.
After that, not so much fun.
And on that note, I think that'll be it for our show this week.
All right.
So thanks for listening. Remember tfradio.net/Amazon for all your buying anything needs, because it's Amazon. They have everything. And if you use that link, you take money away from them and give it to us. And tfradio.net/almanac and get that thing that Matt's holding up, because that's really pretty cool. And you can totally beat someone over the head with it.
Oh, knock some out.
And do some damage.
Yeah.
Also, be sure to...
Any predictions by Radio Free Cybertron are not governed by the rules of Madam Cleo. So if this stuff happens, it's not our fault.
Anyway, be sure to check out our other shows, RFC Extra, where we present you the best of things you didn't get to hear live. Also, the minicast, where John sits down with one random person every week and talks about whatever for half an hour, and it's really pretty cool. And we also, of course, have Rob Springer's Being Awesome, because if Rob Springer's good at anything, it's being awesome. So thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, hopefully with Kilby herding the cats. And, you know, till then, see
still
you later.
Married.
That's optional.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.